I think that doing things in unison is a connection, and a connection is a modality of love, is one of my favorite ones ever. It's like singing in a choir. It's doing things with people for the right reasons together. That raises like a collective energy.
Hello and welcome back to TBR. This week we head to New Zealand, to Auckland specifically, to chat with Logan John Buchanan. Logan is a true creative, and you may remember his name coming up in conversation on previous episodes of the podcast. I'm really excited that we finally got him on the show because he is an incredibly talented photographer, graphic designer, creative director, you name it, all manner of ideation Logan can turn his hand to. He's also the co-founder of Grave Runners. Grave Runners is a New Zealand-based run crew and was one of the run crews involved in Subspace. We've spoken about Subspace before on the show, and it had its most recent offering about a month ago in conjunction with the Sydney Marathon. This four-day event was a celebration of the power of running and its global community, and was really exciting to observe over here in the UK. In this conversation, we dig into Logan's journey into running. We talk about his creative practice. We talk about the ideation behind the Subspace event and how it came to be. We also talk about his own experiences with curating his own running community in New Zealand, and why, as he says, connection is a modality of love. Big fan of Logan. Really glad we've got him on the show. Let's get into the interview. Logan, thank you so much for joining me. The people have been asking for it. Your name has been cropping up in other episodes with other members of the Australian running community. Your name has been dropped. The Grave Runners name has been dropped as well in episodes. So it felt about time to get you on the podcast to learn a little bit more about you, your background, your creative mark that you're putting on running, and how that flows into your other creative practices as well. So really excited to have you here. How you doing, man? How's your day been? Because I'm conscious that it's the beginning of my Wednesday, but it's the end of yours. How's your day been so far?
Thanks for having me on here, Danny. It's nice. I'm a big listener, so cool to be able to speak to you and see you. Funnily enough, I actually was like, what do I need to do to prep? And I found myself brushing my teeth in the bathroom thinking I'm going into a face-to-face conversation. Got the Colgate going on. Love Aussie and all of that crew over there. I'll work backwards through it. I just had a meal with Ben Clement, dear friend of mine and big inspiration. He had a seafood curry at a Vietnamese restaurant on Lawn Street, and I had a scallop stir fry.
Nice.
And then prior to that, we had a crew run. Another great turnout, bro, with beautiful, beautiful souls, a lot of smiles. Sun's come out here in Aotearoa compared to maybe where you're going and maybe saying goodbye to it. So I feel like we got some good polarities going on here, you know, being on the other sides of the world.
I love it. I've got a lot of time from where you're from, man. Like, and you mentioned it there. So is that where you've been from day dot? Is that where you grew up? Is that your sort of background? Do you want to kind of give us a sort of Logan 101 to what brought you to this Zoom call at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday evening where you are?
Absolutely, yeah. Born in Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau is the te reo of the place I'm in. And then hopped around quite a bit, went through, I think, 8 different schools in total. So change was always of the, change is a constant, but I was bought into that quite young. So finding new friends, meeting new people was after probably the second time started to become a little bit more fluent in my language. Yeah, and then lived quite rurally for a bit. I was playing footy, and then my best friend came in and subbed for our team, and he was incredible at hockey. His name is Callian. He got player of the day, which robbed me. I was like, how, you know, just one of those athletes that is amazing at picking up a sport. And I thought, right, I've got to compete now. I've got to get back. So I dropped footy and then moved into playing hockey, which really opened up a different scope of sport. It was a different pace, and then ended up doing quite well in the hockey field. Fortunate enough to get a scholarship to a school to play won nationals 2 years in a row, and then hockey isn't really a massive sport back here. Rugby always. So definitely felt like I was fighting against, like, doing well, but fighting against a big dog there. And yeah, and then kind of dropped it. And they said, well, sweet, you need to find something else to do if you want your scholarship to remain. So I was in my final year of high school at that point, and I was like, cool, I'm going to get a camera. Oh, I'd always kind of had one, but I was like, I'm going to really hone in on this photography. I think Tumblr was really popping at that time, and I was up close and personal doing detailed shots of flowers, and which I think is where every photographer's, like, career kind of starts, is super detailed on a piece of nature, right? And then it kind of steps back from there, in my opinion. You kind of get further back, and then maybe at a certain point you start composing those again. But yeah, then lived in Wellington for a bit, which is at the capital. At that point, I went to university, probably smoked a lot of cannabis and wasn't really showing up to classes. So within 6 weeks, I was just like, what am I doing here? You know, and kind of, I was studying a Bachelor of Design. So I was looking at all these people geographically from, like, a drone or a bird's eye view perspective, and going, what are all these creative people doing in the same, like, pinpoint of a location, and how much of a different perspective could you really get from being in the same place? And I was like, damn, I kind of just feel like if I just went out of uni, did something crazy, and then just, like, got a hiding, or I wake up the next day and go, wow, but hopefully I've learned something. So that was me. I left, and yeah, just, which I'll probably touch on in a little bit, my life was situated around, like, drinking, and we have a lot of drinking culture. Drinking is a competitive sport here in New Zealand. Not officially, but and then moved back up to Auckland for some family, yeah, to, like, reconvene with my family, and then found myself living on Karangahape Road, which is a pretty notorious street, and I've been in the Bluetooth range of Karangahape Road pretty much ever since.
Why is it a notorious street? And I love that expression, Bluetooth range. I love that way of coining that particular phrase. And there's so much to pick up on what you just said then in your response. But yeah, why is it a notorious street for people maybe outside of the area? Why does it have that connection?
Well, there's a few reasons on that. It was kind of a bit of a party central for many years. Like, this is where all the nightclubs were. This is where, per se, in, like, the 90s, you had different sexual expressions going on in this one place. So for maybe a more conservative person, this street was, like, where it was all, everything was happening that might be at that time, like, not necessarily a family kind of conversation. And from, like, a lot of culture, thriving with culture, and it still is to this day. Which is why, like, I think I feel super, super connected to this place. But then on a origin of where Karangahape is, it's at the top of, so you come up Queen Street, which is, like, the main street here in Auckland, and then you come up to Karangahape, which is, like, a ridge line, which used to be a stream. And so the origins of the name, which I'm pulling off the top of my head, and I should know to the T, but so when there's some, like, demigods, one of them's called Hape, and people were coming down to Aotearoa in a waka, and Hape, his build and body wasn't necessarily, he was huge, but it wasn't necessarily considered, he wasn't considered worthy or like able to fight off what was, like, on this land per se. And then, so he wasn't invited on the waka down here. Waka means, like, boat or, and so that wound him up. And then he decided he was still coming anyway and caught a giant stingray down from Hawaii to like down here. And so karanga hape means like the waiata of hape. And he arrived before the waka and then welcomed people in from like the people on the waka. And so, yeah. So okay. I think there's, And it's, the shell path is another description that we can have in there. So yeah, there's a lot of depth in that. So yeah, and I feel blessed to be here personally.
It feels like as well from, and obviously, you know, sort of social media is only ever one layer or one sort of impression that you get of an individual, but from what you communicate on that platform, how we've connected, it feels like that area that you're describing feels like a very sort of apt place for someone like yourself to be, this sort of cultural kind of artery that people are drawn towards within that area, within New Zealand, and a home for people who look at things from a slightly different perspective or present in a different way or identify in a different way, because that feels very apt to you. And I just want to go back to something you talked about earlier. You're talking about photography and about being close to something and then zooming out and being at university and looking at that sort of group of creatives from a different perspective. And that's what I feel is very in keeping with you and the sport of running, is that you are looking at it constantly from different perspectives and how it can present in different ways through different people's lenses. And that's what I really admire about the kind of stuff that you create and produce within the sport of running. There we go, listeners. We are going to talk about running eventually. Don't you worry about that. But it's important, I think, to get a bit of context in where you're coming from so people can understand why it is you interpret running the way that you do. So maybe let's get on to how you first connected to that. So, okay, you changed to hockey. You'd clearly been successful within that. When did running come into your life, and when was there, or was there a point where you realized, okay, this is something that has connected to me in quite a deep creative way as well as a physical way?
Yeah, I was thinking about my origin of running, and I think I was running away from my parents the first run I did in Invercargill, but more recently and at like the kind of the birthing point of grave runners, it was destroying myself after university with like drugs and alcohol. And then finding myself not well being at all. My being was unwell, and I was still on the same, a different building on K Road, and had just moved into a flat with my friend Connor. We both had some weight that we were carrying, and he was like, bro, go for a run. And I thought, well, this is wild. I haven't, like, running for me was a high school teacher that, or the coach of our hockey team being like, I don't care if both your ankles are like sprained or rolled or broken, bro, if you want to make the team, you got to run the 3K in this amount of time around the track. And I'm like, hate that. My defiance kicks in and I'm like, all right, I will. But yeah, that sort of energy. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's give it a go. And then went for a run and it hurt. I felt all the cigarettes come back over many years. But at the end of it, I had a clear mind for a bit. And then the second one, like, cool, let's go. I think it was like 7K. And then the second one, it's like 14K. And I rolled into a conversation with a friend, like a young family, like they're a young family that I know and they're dear friends of mine. But he was just running past, like, sweet, I'm at 14, let's stop. I had the best glass of water I think I'd ever had. And then, yes, yeah, so the first one was painful. The second one was a bit more of an asset. And I think now, or from there, it turned into an addiction. So both Connor and myself living in that flat, we started Grave Runners together. And yeah, it became like, how can we show this to a different culture that isn't being communicated to by the likes of like large conglomerate gyms or these aesthetics of people that look like they're fit. Because if you're not in the fitness world, you have no idea where to even begin. And so we're like, yo, we like to have a party. We like having a nice glass of wine and, you know, and like, we like going to shops, but we're probably not going into buy athleisure, you know. So we're like, all right, how does this fit? And then are there other people that are feeling this, like they might be neglecting their mental or physical well-being, and how can we strive to communicate to those people as we identified as that? Like, yeah.
So Graverunners, why the name? Why did that name chime with you, and how did it begin? And as that developed, did you find your relationship with the sort of previous version of Logan, the Logan that liked to drink and smoke and party, how did that relationship change, and where is it at now as Graverunners became this thing that, you know, you put a lot of time and effort into?
The name. Connor, we'd both lost some dear friends of ours who took their own lives. And then there's this one Grave Diggers track that is 1-800-SUICIDE. And then kind of the wordsmith is just put these, like, things just like, what about Grave Runners? And it kind of looking at some of our friends and I putting all of these pieces of the puzzle together, it was like a lot of like, tattoos have these elements of we're not a tattoo run club as well. I'm just going to distinguish that, and you know, but which is sometimes what we get called. But it's like looking at some of these elements that appear visually, and that word, it was like, cool, this is not like we felt like that connected on this level of, maybe some people would understand it as like target market, but I'm not going to use that word. Like I'll use that word purely for maybe somebody else to understand. But I don't think that our crew could ever use the word target market. But yeah, it was like, cool, is this going to connect with people?
Mm-hmm.
And then through like semiotics of a grave and there's a lot. There's a lot in there visually, which is cool.
And thank you for articulating the story there. I didn't realize that was, it came from a place of sadness with people taking their own lives. I didn't realize that was part of what was connected to the name. So thank you for sharing that. So as it grew, as it became this thing, what was the change within your relationship to the sort of previous version of Logan? Is there still that Logan that likes to party and have a good time, or is that slightly changed now as you've found this new passion within running a movement?
Yeah, absolutely. In the beginning, I kind of considered each kilometer that I had to be, I'd earned a beer. Which is not, I don't recommend that, and I don't advise anybody on that, but it was a nice little counting system in my head. And then it really unlocked the ability for me to make better decisions for my life. Something that I think is quintessential to me in my running world is I treat each foot as a different process or energy, so, or like a polarity. So if my left foot is my good foot and things that make me feel good and light me up, and my right foot is my kind of some things that I find difficult to deal with or challenging, if you could imagine only running with your left foot, that's like you'd be running in circles, or you'd end up in the splits. So running allowed, like when I began running and kind of forming this mentality on my runs of pushing further and deeper into a long run or not wanting to run at all, this was running's also a completely separate world to me than day-to-day life. It's like I can walk into that and leave everything behind. but then I can also use it to empower my other life. So if I'm maybe finding a discussion hard with somebody that isn't, like if our boundaries haven't been clearly communicated or something like that, I can empower myself in the run to go, cool, what am I doing? And this is primal. This is built in us to move our bodies from hundreds and thousands of years ago, you know? And so then I'm like bringing this in and going, okay, cool. Like we're pushing step by step now. And I can then come out, feel good from that run, especially if I've set an intention for that run of what I want to gain from it. If I want to like have a conversation with somebody if I want to have a conversation with somebody that I've been finding tricky or not finding the confidence with myself to do, then like I can focus that through the run. And so that kind of touches, that's a bit more specific on something there, but you can apply that thinking to many things that are challenging you in life, I think.
100%. And I love that analogy of the left and the right foot, sort of associating with the left things that you enjoy and the right things that maybe are difficult, because that is running in a nutshell, because it is sometimes joyous and giving, but also sometimes incredibly frustrating and difficult and challenging. But you take the rough with the smooth, and that is what is the true transformative power of this sport that we love. And I'm so loving your perspective on the sport, sort of through your creative process. And I'm curious how it bleeds into your kind of professional life as well, because I'm looking at your website just off on this other screen, and like part of what you do is design and direction and identity for various kind of creative outputs. Like, how does running flow into that work for you? Is it a key part of your creative ideation that you do?
Absolutely. And it wasn't at a certain point. A lot of people in the design or like even in the corporate world, I think what running allows me to do is like have a look at the corporate and or like capitalistic consumer world, which is what a lot of my work ends up in, as with everyone. But it's like I can take a step out of it and then go and conceptualize an idea on a run and purely enjoy myself. And the reason I'm going out to run is because I enjoy it first and foremost. Mm. And I prioritize that before I would prioritize a sitting down and doing a job or feeling like I'm a battery hen to that job. So I can go out and allow myself the time to enjoy the world. And then I'm fortunate enough to like freelance, which is I'm grateful for. You can just explore as much as you want when you're on your run. You know, it's time for yourself. And mm-hmm. So if I choose to think about an idea like that, or I choose to not think about anything and just go out and enjoy the like mechanics of a run, yeah, I'm bound to run into something there.
Mm.
You know, if the golden arches sign has gone upside down and we're looking at a www, I'm like,
that's something. Take it. Yeah, I love that. I'm curious to know then what is, and this is me just being purely nosy as well, but we've had a lot of creators on the podcast, and I'm always fascinated about the idea of processes, particularly from those creatives. So say, I'm not going to give you a brief now and make you come up with an idea, because that would be just cruel and it's free labor more than anything. But I'm curious to know what your, an overview of what your process is like post run. Say you've been challenged with something. Say, for example, let's use Subspace as an example. Subspace, we had Ben on talking about the previous version of Subspace that happened, but I know you've just recently had the latest iteration. So maybe as a starting point, I'm doing it again. I'm giving you about 20 questions in one here. I'm really making you work for your supper here, Logan. Maybe give a bit of context to what Subspace is for people who aren't aware, and maybe touch on how you approach that as a creative brief from your perspective.
Cool. Yeah. Subspace is the instantiation of three running crews across Aotearoa, Melbourne and Sydney. So AMPM, OGs, been in the game for a long time. King's Cross, also OGs. And then Grave Runners, we're young, coming up to like 4 years. So a lot of Zoom meetings in that process, I'd say. But yeah, like I think the key with Subspace I'm working on if really anything in the running world from where I lie is like happiness and joy needs to be the treadmill there. And things being coming, like things coming and being made out of like a place of love from your heart, as we would just want to create like and these events and these memories and connections between people from different places. I'm a big believer in having that grounding and like happiness and joy, because if you're not creating from a place of happiness and joy and like freedom, how do you expect anybody that attends an event to like experience an emotion that wasn't baked with love? So yeah, that's Subspace is like it's very difficult to describe, and I think after the first Subspace we still couldn't describe it. People still asking what it is, and I think that's a beauty of it in itself. It's like if people are still going, what is it? Like tell me about it. I think that can, well, for me, it allows it to be what I want it to be in my mind, and I would hope that other people feel the same freedom in it being a different, like they can decide what it is for them too. So I recommend like anybody check it out. We've got our Instagram going with the last month's event. But yeah, it's a place where we create a temporary hub room, a temporary club room, sorry. And within that we fill it with events morning and evening, and there's like a marathon that's made, or like a big marathon that's going on at that time, and so runners are all there, and we treat it as a temporary club room and a safe space for people to come in and meet some new people, bend and merge a bit of art and food, maybe some product if people are, if people ask nicely. But yeah, just display a space where we explore a theme that has kind of been looming on some of the people that put it together. So we got like Matt Willicks, Ben Dwyer, Connor Adams, and Ben Clement, and myself. It's like a place where we can explore a theme. So this year's theme at Sydney was being in transit. So we visually appeared as a bit more of a domestic space, like an airport terminal or a bit of a post shop. We kind of found that with a domestic in the development process, like domestic spaces had this similar idea to running, where you, there's or from what we appreciate within the running, our running communities, is this like unspoken respect and like knowing on how to approach and be mindful and a kind person, which you have in the post office, you have in the airport. It's like everyone's in their track pants, and they got their neck pillows on, and they're hanging out. And it's a highly emotional experience in the airport, and there's all these people that don't know each other, but you know that you're there for the same reason. And we saw that parallel, like as being a fascinating idea to kind of represent. Me personally, I found Sydney really interesting, and that idea of being in transit. I got a friend, Dave, my mate Dave, which is kind of a colloquial term here in New Zealand. I'm not sure about the rest of the world, but my mate Dave is kind of like an imaginary friend, but he is extremely real.
And is he
And
called Dave as well? He is called Dave.
he's called Dave. Yeah,
Okay.
yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so he's kind of a big go to. We'll have deep conversations. He's highly intelligent and a philosopher. So exploring the idea of in transit with him took me way deeper than I expected. I was ready to go, to the point
Cool.
like, yeah, thinking about like a transient nature, and then paralleling that transient nature of human existence into like a 1 foot landing on the pavement and moving into the next, as being in transit constantly as your body's moving and through running. It was like this Plus, then you throw in an airport terminal and planes, and then visuals of like airplane windows, and any, you know, there's a lot in there. But I'd kind of got, I'd pushed myself to such a point with thinking that it had really reduced my running. So my thinking about running had gotten way deeper than my running had, which I'm grateful for now. I think like during that time in Sydney, I'm going to speak very honestly there, I really struggled. I really found it hard with that. I was like, damn, is the theming not right? Like, and I'm just getting too scuba diving way too deep on it. But I'm so grateful for that time and what running has led me to do from that point, just being on the piss, you know, like drinking has brought me here to this point where I'm around people that I feel comfortable with letting my heart out to about some personal things that are going on with, I'm just going to keep, nothing's off the limits here with depression. And then being in like a environment with a lot of people where you're hosting, and then just feeling like, have I bitten off more than I can chew? Talking to my mate Dave on the phone, sitting looking at a bin chicken in Sydney, like, what? And then all of these people around me are the people that really, like, we come from different paths and backgrounds, and I felt supported by all of them, which is, I think, I don't know if that's maybe my way of describing what Subspace was for me this year, was feeling supported. Then thank you, running. Thank you. Yeah, it's like my heart's beating on that one, bro, because that was some of the trickiest times I've had. Even with the creative process, I was able to express all of these things, like personal, commercial, even in the running world, like stopping running, I was able to express that to people there with safety, and feel supported. So, like, damn, I still don't know what Subspace is, bro. I'm sorry.
No, I think
That's what it is for me.
well, you say thank you, running. I say thank you, Logan, for such a wonderful response, because I think there's so many things to unpack there, and I think it's fascinating. First of all, to hear about the ideation process behind something like that, because I think for the people who experience and pass through, at a subconscious level, they pick up on those cues. But for you and for the team behind it, they have been mulled over and picked apart and ideated for such a long process and period of time, so that the hope is for the individuals that pass through, they get that at a subconscious level and it's almost effortless. So it's always wonderful to hear about the labor that goes into creating those experiences for individuals. And I love that, that the thematic kind of strands you'd pull together of being in transit and that those kind of public communal spaces that hold so much for people, as well as this sort of sport of running holds for the individuals. And I think also for people who are creatives who operate within presenting ideas and work around this sport that they love, it's a sort of double-edged sword almost, because it is something that people draw so much personal kind of joy from. Then to present something that is like an artistic response to that, but also something that has commercial elements within that, it's a lot of pressure. I think it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of responsibility, because it's you basically putting your hand up and saying, this is what running means to me. I want to share it with you. I hope that works. But I'm also trying to make a living out of it as well. Like there's all these different things, and it's a highly pressurized thing. So it's always fascinating to get an insight into that process. And from looking at what you created at Subspace, it felt like, you know, this is someone from London, UK, who unfortunately couldn't be there to experience it physically. You created something that was wholly unique, because, and I'm sure you're very attuned to this, and I'm sure the people that you collaborated with are as well, there is running is having such an uptick, such a boom at the moment, that a lot of these kind of events are happening. And the real want and need, I imagine, from creatives such as yourself and Ben and the other people you were working with, is to create something that is authentic, and genuine and a personal response to what the sport means to you, and not falling into the kind of typical path of let's just do a pop-up because we have X thing to sell. Like, was that, and this is coming back around to a question, don't worry, we're going to get to one eventually. I'm sort of monologuing here slightly because it's just, there's so much to sort of draw on from what you've just said, but was that something for you all as a kind of collective that you wanted to avoid, but also mindful that you need money for to make these things happen? So I suppose the question is how did you tie those things together in a way that felt truthful to what it is you were trying to create?
It's led from the heart. And that, I think that for me, I can only speak for me, but it's led from the heart. So if that heart feels locked off, then I physically won't be able to create anything. So it's setting the boundaries with who you're working with, making sure that people are understood and the needs are understood, and then working within those boundaries. And I think to pull on the first year of Subspace, that was the theme that we explored. Boundaries are a point of connection to better understand each other. Boundaries are bridges to better connect with each other, not fences that hold you back. Mm. I have so much on the commercial world of running in me. And I thank you. You've been able to articulate it into a good question, because running is not a marketing tick box for brands. And I'm fortunate enough to work with brands that don't treat it like that. And we're able to have conversations around that. I just really want people to, like, I feel like I'm like a troll of grave runners at the gate that like fends off brands that are sitting down in a meeting looking at us, you know, and being like, oh yeah, we want to work with them because this is gonna, somebody in a suit's gonna be able to push a piece of paper over on Monday morning and say, this is what we've done. That's not why I got into running. That's not why I got into anything creative. And I care about my people that I run with so much that I don't want them to be that. They're not statistics. Like, but then you get, then there's this world where I'm like, I'm a freelance creative. And then like, here's some other truths, is like the entire time that Grave Runners has been going, every Sunday I wind up with less than $3 in my bank account, bro. Like, this is like how much love I have for the sport and how much I put into it. And even when I got nothing, I'm like, I can't even stop thinking about it. I should be thinking about how I'm going to like get my next meal. But I'm like, what's in the running world, and what's it doing? But it's, I think there's some work that needs to be done. And I think that run crew leaders using this platform as a way to communicate to them, like, should be as concerned for their crew and working with brands in the safest way as possible to keep the sacred element of running and its origin and where it came from, to keeping that honest, keeping that real honest, and like empowering yourself and challenging that system. I'm not the biggest fan of capitalism. I understand it. I'm getting better at it. it's definitely a challenge, but like, it's separate with running, you know.
It's an important one, and it's a difficult one to articulate because, like you say, it is part of this world, and it is something that allows, if managed in the right way and in an appropriate way with, like you say, clear boundaries. And I love that thing of boundaries are bridges. I think that's a really lovely way of articulating it. But if negotiated with clear boundaries, they can be a means to presenting something truly unique and truly in keeping with what your kind of vision is as a creative and as an artist, I think, fundamentally, and making sure you sort of preserve that. But it is a tightrope, I think. And I imagine for the founders who we've had on the show before, and for yourself, I think it's something that they're all mindful of, because you want to preserve that thing that you love, which is being with your friends, running. Like, the the talk afterwards, the sort of fear beforehand of maybe you've got to do a hill workout, or it's a 15K long run, or whatever it is, like that collective shared experience is the root of all of it. And that is something to be preserved at all costs. And maybe just sort of parking that and putting that to one side, because I'm curious, you said when you were talking about creating the subspace thing, you sort of discussed themes and things that had sort of chimed with you, like zooming out a little bit further and looking at running as a whole, like are there other things you've sort of picked up on within the sport, other things that kind of chime with you, things that maybe you think are where the sport's maybe going, or things that you think you're kind of maybe slightly turned off by, or things that excite you, like as a kind of design creative? Okay, we're going back to this idea of what you were talking about earlier with the university of zooming out. Maybe you're kind of in a drone or something, looking out at the sport from a real kind of wide shot. Like, are there other things that are sort of sparking for you?
Yeah, I've been testing a few things with Grave Runners. I got given a line from Matt Willicks from AMPM and Subspace. He said, 1 meter wide and 10 meters deep, not 10 meters wide and 1 meter deep, which landed with me so hard. Then there's the digital world, you know, and everything's online, and it's this chamber of proof of what's going on, which is sick, you know. It's with every, yeah, it goes both ways. They're the polarities, just like you've been in London and me being in New Zealand, you know. It's like, and I think, like, with all the creative skills that have been put into like Grave Runners, it's coming off super commercial on face value. But I'm interested in now checking to see how people are, like, beyond that, what's happening, and just pushing different little things and going in a different, and actually this is all copyrighted and trademarked, yo. If you want some ideas like this, you need to if you're a brand, you need to send me a bloody email and we'll talk about it, all right, and fly me over to the offices and we'll work for a day. But it's
we're putting like an audio TM like on this. We're doing like a watermark right now. We are putting a watermark stamp seal on the next part of this audio. Copyright Logan. Yeah.
But it's like I'm now choosing to move in ways that a brand can't. And I think, like, how casual can we get with this communication style now? And there'll be ways where we'll still present and be like, hey, yo, don't forget, like, we're fucking lit, yo. Like, we're leading, like, we're leading creatively here. And I'm kind of tooting my own horn there, but I'm so proud of what I've, like, or what everybody has put into it and what it comes out as. But I'm like, yo, there's brands out there that do some real commercial stuff, and they're hiring creatives that are insanely capable of changing normative expectations of society. And they're getting these people to recycle work. It's like a Big Mac photo in a drive-through for something that could be explored, and we could really shape the way that society views any topic through the sport. I think it has unlimited potential in that way. But so I'm like, okay, how casual can we kind of get with it to really make sure that it's, we keep our power there. So through people showing up, it's like, yo, the latest post we did, or like, what, this is going to come out in a bit of time, but it's like, yo, cool, where's some letters that spell Grave, and then the simplest little caption, like, and it's taken a while to get to that point of relaxing into that, but like, I reckon the deeper we can relax into that space of calm and like ease, it'll be, that's the direction I want to go in personally. Yeah, I've only ever run in Sydney and Melbourne worldwide,
Okay.
And I kind of keep a naive perspective on the rest of the world with running until I can get there and witness it for myself. But yeah, I'm in a cool, calm and collected era at the moment.
I love that expression of keeping it casual and leaning more into that, like, because I feel there must be part of when you're building something of like turning off that inner monologue of like, what can I create that's gonna hit or have connection and impact. And I love the idea of leaning almost like hugely into that, like casual, almost throwing it away slightly. But I know you're not just throwing it away. You're like, that's a creative impulse, but like presenting something that is almost so casual, it presents in a way that you're kind of not thinking about it to create a feeling with the audience that receives it that people are welcome. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you're creating a vibe where it's like, just come along. Because I feel sometimes there can be a feeling that if they're so slick and cool, that they kind of are self-defeating in the fact that people think, I don't know whether I'd fit in there, or I don't know whether I'd feel like I'd feel welcome.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely there. I think as well, this comes back to some of the process that I'm feeling with Subspace, and it's like the embodiment of happiness and joy and putting that in there. And this is like, I've got a friend, Ursula, who will kill me if I put this wrong, but it's like, it's a kind of fragment of regenerative thinking by going, cool, if we're like creating something from a place of cool, calm and collected, and our two towers are like, or our fortress is coming from there, then how is that going to then play out into that way, and really getting that authentic, like emotive and the feeling that you have and letting that fly. It's like, yo, we do a real casual post, are people going to rock up and they're going to run and they're going to be casual? If we do a really serious one, how's that going to be received? And like, it's all been learning for me at this point, but I'm definitely like, 1 week we didn't even do a post, yo, and we still had like 50 people rock up, man.
That's cool, you know, man. That's cool. You're building something that people want to be a part of, like, and for the actual nuts and bolts of it, like for people listening who are maybe thinking about like, you know, joining it, what are the nuts and bolts? When do you meet? Like, what's the kind of setup? Like, how does it work for Grave Runners?
We alternate with another crew in Tamaki Makaurau. We meet at Salo Park. They conveniently built us this huge concrete structure that holds boats, and it has these nice little tombstone windows. So, fortnightly. It's enough time to miss it, I think. So then it's like you can alternate and go to the boys at neighborhood. They start in a different spot, and then honestly the running culture is perking up massively here in Auckland. There's like a roster where it's like you can find yourself at like Monday night, you can find yourself somewhere, then like Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, like Wednesday night, then Thursday morning, then Friday morning, you got this crazy crew called 4:45 that get up at 4:45. Holy heck, is that you're on your way to that run and you feel insanely empowered in the Uber on the way there. And then they're really incredible. And so as a culture as a whole, what we have here at the moment is some people have crew alliances and they stay deep with them, but then like a lot of the people are gaining like the most trainings with the most people that they can possibly. And for me, like, I in the beginning of Grave Runners, seeing other crews maybe popping up, I remember going, yo, they share the same goals as me, so I'm never going to feel like they have the same aspirations. I'm never going to feel like they're competing against me. We're competing together and we're doing stuff and we're pushing each other. And so this is one of my favorite lines to bring up at one of the crew runs, which to answer part of that question is every second Wednesday at 6 p.m. Silo Park, 6 kilometers. Doing things in unison is a connection, and a connection is a modality of love. Also, something that I like to say there is you get out what you put in. So give it hell. But yeah, it's this, it's, I think that doing things in unison is a connection, and a connection is a modality of love is one of my favorite ones ever. It's like singing in a choir. It's doing things with people for the right reasons together, for, and like that is a collective, that raises like a collective energy that is, it's, I've found some, not many things that could compare to it.
It's potent, isn't it? It's a potent feeling, I think. And I think that's why it's grown exponentially in popularity, is because that feeling is uncomparable. And I love that analogy of singing in a choir. Like, it's that same feeling when you chime in unison with a group of people. I've sung in a choir before. It's euphoric. Like, it is, it's transformative. And I think it shares exactly that same thing. And I think it's a thing to be preserved, going back to what we were discussing earlier, preserving that thing, but just putting the collective to one side. For you as an individual, running wise, I know you've kind of maybe been taken away from it a little bit recently with all your work with Subspace, but are you rediscovering it? Are there challenges for yourself as an individual with running? Are there races? Are there things that you're wanting to sort of accomplish as an individual when it comes to running?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a big grin on his face, listen, as he's smiling.
I didn't run in Sydney at Subspace. I made a decision. I had a ticket for the full, and I made a decision the night before. And I was like crying outside Valentine Street in the middle of the road. And I was just like, I don't think I'm running. If I was to run tomorrow, I don't think I'd be running for myself. I think I'd be running for other people. And, saying no to that was great. And then 2 days later, after the pack down, we went out to Bondi, which is like the first time for me seeing anything outside of Subspace in Sydney. So I definitely was in the terminal there for a very long time. But we got to Bondi, and then like everybody jumped in the water, and I just remember looking at my like bare feet in the sand and not wearing like, yeah, the sand, the water, and bare feet. And I was like, you know what? I just need this like 1 kilometer jog from either side of Bondi in the water. And it was bliss. It was absolutely bliss. And that's all I needed that entire time. But I think, yeah, like I've got the Auckland half coming up this weekend on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 28th or 29th of October.
Oh, right. Oh, really soon. Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's just making sure that I've got joy, and I'm like running because I want to, not because I feel I have to. And I think that's where I oppose a bit more of the like technical and routine training world, although it's super beneficial and I have been routined at times. Right now, I think what's really lighting me up is actively making that decision or preparation to put myself into a run. And these little parts, like I ain't got no headphones and running like chasing a ghost of like a past. It's really comes down to like every single part of my body mechanically thriving on that run and experiencing that run as a journey with anybody around me, whether that be communicating verbally or non-verbally, is where I'm real stoked to be. But I think it's a long road, and it's a long road running for me. I don't think I'll ever let it go. So yeah,
I'm curious, because you're doing a half marathon. I'm curious, someone such as yourself who, like you say, then you want to run when you want to run rather than feeling that you have to run. When that sort of perspective is slotted into a conventional kind of race environment, what your kind of take on that sort of world is, because there's a future episode coming up. It just posited something. There's a future episode coming up with an individual who organizes very unique race experiences, and I don't want to give too much of a spoiler away, but I was curious on their take on that kind of conventional running environment. I'm curious what your take on it is of a mass race, like of putting on the bib numbers, of being in the corral. Like, is, yeah, what's your kind of perspective on something like that?
I love it. I do. Okay. I do. I'm far more tuned into myself at the moment and what I need to like start pushing myself deeper again. But I'm into the obscure. I'm into looking if things aren't going right, go left. And I'm like, what would bring me joy with all these people doing that? It's kind of coming back to that uni ideology again. When all of these people are here doing this, it's like, how can I, not for the sake of it, but like, I know that that stuff lights me up going, okay, sweet. Like, I just ran this half marathon bouncing a tennis ball the whole time. Or like, maybe I'm going to start at the finish line and finish at the start line, you know, and run the other way through other people. And like, what's the gain from that? And insane. I don't know if I'm going to do either one of those. It could be on the table now that I've said it, but it's not
a verbal contract. You're not committed.
I think it's just making sure that I feel like I'm able to express myself as an individual on that day, even though I'm in a huge group of people. Sometimes that is pacing it, bro. Yeah. And when I run, it's like strictly nose breathing and there ain't no headphones on. And I'm deep in the zone. And I've got many methods of overtaking and I'm like highly competitive. But I tend to leave that. At the moment, it's cool, calm and collected. Responsive, not reactive.
Responsive, not reactive. Because I'm just thinking back to you talking earlier about being quite a competitive hockey player. Like, does that, Logan, ever come out of you within a race context?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Like Melbourne, definitely. Yeah. Melbourne bought the ticket the night before the race spontaneously. I did not want to align myself with and don't ever. So unless they change some foundations. But the night before, it was the opposite to Sydney, really. I was like, yo, I'm going to get a ticket to the Mara now. And we're on. And I just had a few wines and some pasta with Kev. And then I was having wines. He definitely wasn't, you know. And then, yeah, and then pulled up and did like a really, really nice time just because I was happy. I found that happiness inside myself. And doing activities with that happiness, I think, is so key. So key. Because no matter what time I came out of that with, I would have had an enjoyable time. Mm. And then I did a pretty good one for the debut marathon on like a 3:10. I was like, sure.
that's pretty handy. But I really love about your perspective on it is I think because I feel sometimes that I begrudgingly do runs, or like I'm begrudgingly doing something and I'm like, I don't have to do this, so why am I making myself do it? And yes, there's the argument of like, you know, it's those bad days that build the building blocks for, you know, the good days and all that kind of thing. But I think there's something to be said in like pursuing like pleasure with running and like being pleasure led and wanting to just do it when you really friggin' want to. Like, yeah, I'm gonna buy a ticket the night before. Yeah, I've had a couple of wines. So what? I can still like, there's no conventional like way of approaching the sport, I think. When you sort of consume it in the way that we do as people who are like creatives who also enjoy it, like we're not, I don't know, maybe you are, but like I don't have you pegged as someone who's like maybe, you know, looking at LA 2028, you know, from that sort of perspective, who knows? But like I feel like there's real power to be had in just following joy, like, and doing it for pleasure, I think. And I think a lot of people listening to this conversation can certainly chime with that. I'm curious for you going forward, are there plans for Subspace next year? Will there be a bigger sort of more larger footprint to it, or will you go somewhere different? Are you going to bring any of that Grave Runners energy to Europe? Is there going to be a London sort of manifestation of Logan? Like, what does the future look like, I suppose, is the short version of that question.
I'm always down to work on subspace. Always keen to take, I think Rave Runners is a mindset anyway, so I think it's achievable worldwide and globally. Yeah, I'm gonna take some time on that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there will be.
Will there be a Logan tour? Will Logan be coming over? Would he be venturing out and doing some running outside of Melbourne, Sydney, or Auckland?
One of these brands that I've just pissed off can maybe fly me over there, bro. Just, Monday meeting's going to be good, but no. I definitely want to run the perimeter of Jersey and the Channel Islands. That's where my mum is. So going over there.
Okay.
I know they've got a Harriers. Yeah, they got a Harriers over there.
Okay.
So that's
something you're percolating at the moment. Okay. And I suppose then, just maybe close things out, because I think it's been such a pleasure to get an insight into your kind of creative perspective and lens. And I don't know whether you do get this, but I'm curious to know, and I'm sure there are other creatives listening, like, do you have advice for people who have maybe ideas in the way that you have ideas, in terms of like bringing stuff to life, bringing stuff to fruition, like Subspace, for example, I think was a perfect example of that, for people who are like, oh, there's so many cool things in what Logan's been saying. I have this idea for this event, or I have this idea for this run crew, or I have this idea for this artwork or this installation or this film or whatever it is. For people to turn those ideas into reality, do you have any advice that you'd maybe like to take this opportunity to proffer?
Absolutely. I still struggle with it a lot of the time. I find the first 80% of an idea that's with me, like, great. And then the final 30%, I really battle with what I use as a bit of a backbone there when I'm in that zone. Or questioning, my inner critic is loud. I'm not a doctor or a nurse, and it's not life or death. So if you want to do something, I highly recommend doing it. You're going to learn a lot through that process of doing it, and continue to do it and continue to work on it. If you've got it, it's a long road, but it's a bloody good one.
I love that sentiment, and you're right, it's not life or death. And just going back to that earlier quote that I'm going to sort of, not steal, but hold in my mouth briefly, of 1 meter wide and 10 meter deep, like that, you feel like a real sort of embodiment of that, Logan, with the kind of work that you're producing and continuing to produce. And I wildly recommend people going and discovering Logan through the various channels that I'll put in the show notes to find out more about Subspace and Grave Runners, and maybe see some visual references of the things we've been discussing today. But that feels like a really lovely note to end our conversation on. Logan, I'm so pleased we got you on the podcast finally. They've been demanding it and we made it happen. So thank you so much for coming on and being such a brilliant, brilliant guest on The Big Run.
Thank you so much, Danny. It's been a pleasure.
A big thank you to Logan for coming on. You can find links to his work, to Grave Runners, Subspace in today's show notes. I look forward to seeing how he explores that half marathon he's got coming up this weekend and the continued creative output over there in New Zealand. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you are enjoying it. Please do leave us a review from wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps with the show's visibility. And I'll see you next time for The Big Run.